It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Much like last night or early this morning, I guess, with the Yankees, you know, I don't want to waver anymore. I don't want to ride the emotional roller coaster day in, day out, week in, week out, and go up and down with these two clubs who have been inconsistent throughout the course of the year. And even coming off of the sweep of the Red Sox, by the Red Sox sweeping the Yankees, of course. I was saying that I still believe the Yankees are going to be a good team and get this thing figured out even before Aaron Judge comes back. Watch this. The next 2 weeks, they'll go on a run like they always do. Well, the same, but kind of different, with the Mets after a big win. Now, this was maybe their best win of the year as far as a complete effort, a total dominant performance from every aspect, where you look at Max Scherzer, probably his best start as a Met. I mean, I know it's coming off of a couple of duds in important games, and this was a lot less important because people are just basically waving the white flag saying it's already over for the Mets. So Scherzer goes out there with essentially the pressure off and gets into the eighth inning, goes 8 innings, allowing just the 1 earned run, just the 4 hits, striking out 8. So he was on his game. I mean, this was arguably the best that we've seen Max Scherzer in a Mets uniform. But I still can't trust that this is going to be Max Scherzer more often than not moving forward. We've been down this road before. We saw the buildup. You know, the 3 starts prior to Atlanta, Max Scherzer was starting to turn the corner. And then Atlanta happened with a 4-1 lead. He blows the game. Same thing with the Yankees with another big lead. He blows the game. So just because he goes out there and dominates the Houston Astros, which was impressive and it was great to watch, and like we said, it looked like vintage Scherzer, his best outing as a Met, but I can't trust that we're going to see this more often than not moving forward, and that's a huge part of the problem. One of the main reasons why I said the Mets were done a couple of weeks ago was because it was Scherzer who got beat, and doing so after being given a lead. That just can't happen. But you did see, and look, we told you the offense wasn't the problem. Not that it's not a problem, potentially, not that it's consistent and reliable, but you've seen the offense start to turn the corner, really over even the last couple of weeks where the team has been struggling. They've still been able to score some runs, whether it is Starling Marte being back, Francisco Lindor now all of a sudden, and you knew that he was going to right himself. It was just a matter of time. He's too good a player not to. Now, at the end of the year, is he going to be hitting 260? I'm not so sure about that, but generally, players like Lindor will play to the baseball reference page. I mean, that's just what they do. That's why he's a star player. That's why it's so disappointing and so shocking that the first 2.5 months of the season have been a lost cause for Francisco Lindor. So you start to see him getting going. Tommy Pham has been terrific. Vogelback, Daniel Vogelback picking it up all of a sudden. Who knew that all he needed was, 6 days rest? Maybe he was tired. I don't know. Mentally, physically exhausted. He's actually started to square the ball up, hit it hard, hit it over the fence, hit it in a gap. Vogelback has been impactful. Now, I still think he's useless, but at least he's doing, and for the record, before people start to say, you guys wanted to get rid of Vogelback. Yeah, there's a reason why we wanted to get rid of him. He wasn't doing his job. This is what he should be doing every day. This is what he's supposed to do. He's getting paid to hit. He's a designated hitter. Hit. If he hits like this, nobody would be saying get rid of him. So it's nice to see Vogelback have a nice couple of games for a change. But obviously, you get the A-type performance from the lineup. They go out there and score 11 runs. And you get the A performance from the, you know, one of their two aces, or the guy who is supposed to be an ace in Max Scherzer. And now you have Verlander going later on tonight now, technically, as we turn to Tuesday morning on the Fan. You have Verlander going against his former team later on tonight. And this is supposed to be the recipe for success. It's just a matter of now putting it together. But how many times, and this is why I can't sit here comfortably and say that that's going to be the case. How many times have we said the same exact thing dating back to the first week of May? All right, here we go. Forget about losing 2 out of 3 to Atlanta. Here we go. Restart the season. Scherzer, Verlander in that rotation together back to back against the crappy Tigers. And what happens? They get swept by the Tigers. All right, here we go. Home against the Rockies. They got to win a series. What happens? All right, taking on the Reds and the Nationals. They'll be better. Here we go. Nope, losing the series. Then even after they had some success winning 5 games in a row against the Rays and Guardians, they again lose 4 of 6 on the road. So, like, it's been up and down, up. Sweep the Phillies, get swept by the Blue Jays. Get swept by Atlanta in embarrassing fashion. Lose 2 out of 3 to the Pirates. Like, lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals. It's maybe rock bottom was losing 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals. But the problem with the Mets now is we've seen 2.5 months of underperforming, inconsistent, flat-out bad baseball. Beating themselves, starting pitching, not doing enough, the offense inconsistent, bullpen getting beat up. Like, you name it, they've done it poorly. And it's been 2.5 months. So while a night like last night, technically Monday, while a game like that, 11-1 drubbing, big performances from almost everybody up and down the lineup, Max Scherzer looking dominant, while a game like that gives you hope, or you want it to give you hope, you cannot get sucked in. I know you want to, and believe me, a part of me wants to get sucked in too. It was fun watching that. The frustrating part is they can't even do that 2 out of every 3 games. And that's exactly what they're going to need to do, and then some, if they want to be taken seriously to contend for a wild card spot. Now, up until this past weekend, I've been saying that even though their season is over, I meant over in terms of they're not even close to a championship team. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And even though I thought they were going to make the postseason, I never truly believed this team would ever make a run. And then after watching them lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals, even I was like, you know what, the playoffs, it's not going to happen. But then you see a night like this and you remember that, hey, this team should, at the very least, and it's not even a great accomplishment, by the way, not even a great accomplishment. This team, at the very least, should be a third wild card. At the very, it's the least they could do. The literal least that they could do. Do you have faith after seeing a performance like this? Are you going to get sucked in? Or do you need to see a lot more? I know I need to see more. Phillies are hot now. We know the Braves are gone. See ya. No way you're catching them. So you know the deal. With still plenty of season left, a team with plenty of talent on it, but has been a bad baseball team. Is there reason to hope after a performance like this? You know, and I'll continue to say what I've felt has been the biggest key all year long. It's Max Scherzer. The offense is what it is. Could it get better, or could they make it better, improve with adding a bat or whatever it may be? Absolutely. But the offense ultimately is not the biggest issue. And even in some of the worst losses that they've had, in particular the 3 games in Atlanta, the offense did enough. You get your starter a 4-1 lead, a 3-run lead, multiple 3-run leads. They've got to be able to, especially when their starters are Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, you got to be able to put that away. And they weren't. So the offense didn't fail them. It was the starting rotation and the bullpen. So it comes back to the starting rotation. Do you believe, you know, forget about Carlos Carrasco, who we know stinks, you know, unfortunately for him. And I like Carrasco, but way too inconsistent and too many times just non-competitive. Tyler McGill, I don't trust, but as a back-end guy, I mean, look, not everybody's going to be lights out. Kodai Senga, a problem with his inconsistency as a third starter. Up and down, up and down. Verlander, I actually trust, although he's been inconsistent, I still trust him to get the job done more often than not. Do you trust Max Scherzer? After his last start, I was saying he's finished. At least finished as the pitcher that we knew him as. And then you watch him go do what he did. I mean, it can't be just as simple as, well, I got to fix the slider. Or I got to stop hanging the slider. Yeah, obviously. You couldn't figure that out against the Braves, of course. Couldn't figure that out against the Yankees. Now you figure it out against the Astros when you're basically dead and buried. What do you think Max Scherzer will be? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Whatever you think of Max Scherzer, it probably will line up for what you think this Mets season is going to be the rest of the way. And it's going to be an important couple of weeks here going into the trade deadline, or maybe more importantly, going into the All-Star break to see if they'll be able to survive before the All-Star break because of the tough schedule that they have. And a lot of times this year, outside of the Brave games, the Mets have played up to their competition. And they've taken care of the Phillies. The Blue Jays, a different story, I guess, getting swept. But a lot of times I feel like the Mets have played their best against the best. Rays, the Dodgers early on in the year. Even that first series against Atlanta back at Citi Field end of April, the Mets lost 2 of 3, but they played well. And then again, you see them against the Astros tonight, or last night technically. Maybe you'll see the best the Mets have to offer here during this tough stretch. But it's an important couple of weeks because if they could show some signs of life, maybe they're worth investing in for Steve Cohen, Billy Epler at the trade deadline. If they don't, then maybe they consider breaking this whole thing down, getting rid of some pieces that they could get something back for and giving it a fresh start next year. So if you don't want to look at the standings and all that right now, it's way early for that. If you want to hang your hat on something, that would be it. Seeing where this team is at so they can, potentially decide if they're going to be buyers or sellers come trade deadline time. And this is going to be a rough stretch. Whether the games are home or on the road, every opponent's a good one now. Even through the All-Star break. So they need to turn it on. When you see the other teams around baseball that were, struggling a little bit, let's say the Phillies turning it on. The Reds obviously have been red hot, and I don't know if they could turn it on or not, but geez, 9 in the row for them. Who knew that they even had that gear? Giants playing well. Every team sort of make a run. Padres have won a couple. You start to see some of the teams that maybe were struggling a little bit sort of make a run. Do the Mets have a run in them? And isn't it funny, too, how you can watch this team for 2.5 months and watch them play bad baseball, losing 2 out of 3 regularly, and all of a sudden, one win, no matter what you truly believe, as I said, deep down, I don't believe in this team, but one win makes it feel like, maybe they can get it going. All it takes to right the ship is a couple of wins. Win a couple of series. Get yourself back to 500. Look at it now. Well, they're only 4 games under. Maybe they get on a little streak here. But I'm not getting sucked in. Nope, not me. Not this time. I bought in last year. They proved me wrong. I wanted to believe this year. They proved me wrong. There's no chance they're catching the Braves. Everybody can agree on that. Although the NL East may not, in fact, be over with the Marlins closing in on Atlanta. How about that? Just 4.5 games back. Anyway, we know the NL East is over for the Mets. But is the wild card spot over for the Mets? A night of hope because of the dominant performance from one Max Scherzer. How you feeling?
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Me and you for the next 4+ hours. Going to 5 a.m. to the warm-up show with Al and Jerry. And on a night like tonight, there's only one thing you could think of if you're a Met fan. You owe Billy Epler and Buck Showalter an apology for ripping Daniel Vogelback. How dare you want him off this team? I told you Vogelback was good. I told you he was worth keeping on this team. Look at it when he squares the ball up. No, so you know a lot of people are going to be, especially within the organization, this is what drives you nuts. Hey, see, you guys want to overreact to get him out of here. What happens if you be patient? First of all, whoop-de-doo. What's he got, 3 home runs on a year? 4 home runs on a year? He should end up with 24 home runs on the end of the year. So if he doesn't do that, he should be taking a hike. Come talk to me when he hits 20-plus home runs. And this is what he should be doing. I forget who, I mean, there's been so many players over the year, but there was one I feel like recently where I was just relentlessly ripping him because he wasn't getting the job done, and then all of a sudden he starts to perform, and it's like, oh, see, you were wrong about him. Maybe it was Edwin Diaz. Yeah, it probably was Edwin Diaz. Where people say, oh, see, Sal, you were wrong on Edwin Diaz. No, I wasn't, as a matter of fact. I mean, I was wrong on one aspect of that. I never thought he would get it turned around. However, I was not wrong for criticizing him from 2019 on. Until last year. And last year, he was doing what it was supposed to do. To me, it proved my point. It made every word that I said even more true in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Because he was supposed to do what he did a year ago. He proved he could do it. He proved that he wasn't anywhere close to doing it the years prior. Which is why I ripped him. Same thing with Daniel Vogelback. Look, you can't get the job done. See ya. You know, there's this narrative going around, and you start to feel it too. Plus, the Mets are on the road, right? So maybe they have more success, ooh, away from Citi Field because it's so hard to play in front of the New York fans and all the pressure. Like, there's this thought that the media and fans are way too critical of their local teams. Give me a break. I get that a lot of people aren't from here. You know, the athletes that are born and raised somewhere else and grow up playing somewhere else, obviously go to college, whatever it may be, get into minors, and then you go to whatever team drafts you. And if you happen to play in New York, all right, maybe that's a rude awakening if you're not from here. But give me a break. It's not that difficult at all to succeed here. If you care or want people to care about what you do, this is the place to be. And you don't have to be a big city guy to get it. Look at Brandon Nimmo, for example. Brandon Nimmo's the furthest thing from a big city kid. Yet, he understands this market. So how come he could figure it out, but others can't? The pressure, the criticism. Give me a break. Tune it out. I mean, these guys, they're making millions of money. What do you think? Daniel Vogelback, what is he doing reading Twitter or social media? Stay off there. You're making $1 million, bro. What do you care what I have to say or anybody else has to say? They shouldn't listen to what we do. We're the fans. We're the irrational ones. Leave that to us. Same with the organization. So stop with the, oh, fans and media members alike are so critical of our ball club and players. We're worried about, what are you worried about? Oh, like people are afraid to come to New York? Guess what? You give them the most money, they're going to want to come here. And if they don't want to come here, screw them. They're probably not worth it. Those are the people that you don't want here. Find out why they want to be here. The answer should be because I want to play for the most passionate fans in the world. I want to play for a city that cares. You know who gets it? Aaron freaking Rodgers. Follow his lead. There's a guy who gets it. He's not coming here for the money. He doesn't need the money. He chose the Jets. He chose New York. Partly because of Hackett, of course. But he wants to embrace this city. He's understood and learned the history of this city. He gets caught up in the passion of this town. And he understands what it would mean to win in this town, specifically for the Jets fan base. Those are the type of players that you want. It's not that difficult to have that attitude. I'm not saying you got to have Aaron Rodgers' ability, but his attitude is exactly what you need here in New York. Matter of fact, if you have an attitude like that and understand these fans, understand the passion, understand that it all comes from a good place. You know, same thing with Francisco Lindor. Lindor is all sensitive to the boos. Like, you think that we want to boo you? Absolutely not. You know who's got a great attitude too? Giancarlo Stanton. He gets it. Now, he can't stay healthy and get on the field, but he gets it. Anyway, Lindor's sensitive to the boos. You know, nobody wants to boo you. We just want you to do your job. We want to love you. Give us a reason to cheer for you. That's what it's all about. Players that come here don't understand sometimes, oh, they're so critical. No, it's just because we want to love you even more than you've ever been loved before. Like Mickey Callaway. Certain guys get it. Certain guys don't. Those who don't, see ya. I don't care how much talent you have. I will admit it does take a special type of character to succeed here. But it's really not that difficult. Linda is calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Good evening, Sal. How are you doing?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Sal, once again, I agree with you. As far as this team is concerned, the Mets, meh. That's all I have to say. One game doesn't change my opinion of them, whether it's with Max or Daniel Vogelbach, who I'm convinced is being force-fed down our throats at this point.
Well, Vogelbach's been in, Linda. He's looked like a new man since his little respite there.
Well, he sucks so bad, there's nowhere else to go. Downward.
Well, that is true.
You know?
That is true, but he could be, you know, continuing to walk. You know the difference with Vogelbach after this mental break? He actually came back looking to hit as opposed to looking to walk. Like, I don't know if he was scared this season to swing the bat.
Oh, you mean he actually took the bat off his shoulders?
Yeah, and he's doing something with it. I mean, he's hitting the ball to left field. He's pulling the ball to right field. He's hitting the ball all over the place. Hitting it up, hitting it hard. And Vogelbach's actually, he's become a hitter. Oh, my goodness. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
It's only a couple of games.
Well, this is true. Can't argue there.
So, this team is what it is. They're around 500. Does anyone honestly think that they're capable of rattling off 12 of 15 or, hell, 17 of 20? I don't think so.
No, I don't either, but, I mean, there are arguments to be made. It's not like it's an impossibility. You know, this team was supposed to be much better than what they are. They do have talent. Lindor is playing much better as of late. I just hate even saying that. If Scherzer and Verlander do what they're supposed to do, that makes things a lot easier.
Big if. That's a big if, along with all the other
and
ifs
I don't,
so far.
And that's why, Linda, that's the biggest reason why I personally don't believe that they could go on a prolonged run. Although I've been saying that they still could make the playoffs, I still believe. I mean, how could they not make? Come on, you're telling me after spending all that money, this team's going to have a total dud and not make the playoffs? Like, they're better than all these teams. They're better.
It would.
I mean, maybe not the
right
Phillies.
Right now, they're certainly giving the 92 team a run for their money and not in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, that was the worst team money could buy. This is the softest team money can buy.
Indeed. Thanks, Al.
Well, thank you, Linda, and I guess that means it's our call. And I appreciate you taking the time to check in, unlike anybody else that's out there listening. What's going on here? Half hour, where are you guys? I got 5 hours. I don't want to talk to myself. I want to talk to you. There's not reason to believe in this team based off of anything we've seen, logically speaking. But it's, you know, it's not illogical or a crazy thought to believe that a team with this much talent, a team that's actually starting to at least get one facet working correctly, and that would be the offense. Not that you expect them to score 11 runs every night, but you at least can start to trust this offense a little bit, especially with Lindor getting going. You know, the fact that Alonso came back 3 weeks early is remarkable. You have two stars that just want to post. I mean, those guys want to play. You can't keep them out of the lineup. Alonso with that wrist issue, you know, after getting hit on the wrist by a pitch. Lindor having a baby. You can't keep these guys out of the lineup. Doesn't matter. And you got to give them credit for that. If not for their performance, it's at least for their want to. They've got that want to. The offense looking a lot better with Starling Marte starting to produce. That's been the key. Those are the two guys, Marte and Lindor. And if those two guys can pick it up, this team's going to go on a run offensively anyway. So Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, you're set there. Tommy Pham has been contributing. How can you not like what you're getting from him? And then the bottom of the order with McNeil starting to have some confidence in Vogelback, and then you got the rookies. Like that lineup, I'm fine with the lineup for now. Of all the concerns, that's the least of the concerns. Max Scherzer is the biggest concern. And let's see what Verlander could do following up Scherzer from last night. Verlander on the mound tonight against his former team. And one more note before we get back to the calls, 877-337-6666. Verlander, and I know this happens all the time, but I'm just tired of watching it. Verlander, in a Mets uniform, receives his World Series ring from a year ago. Like, I understand that's how it works, but I'm tired of watching that where a Met player gets a championship ring, or whatever, it doesn't have to be a Met, a player that is currently on one of the teams that we root for here in this town, gets their championship ring from the year prior with another team. Why can't that happen to the Mets for once? Oh, it's great. Good for Verlander getting his ring. Yeah, good for Verlander. I want him to do what the... I don't want to see the Mets paying Verlander $43 million and him picking up his ring from the Astros. Pat is calling from Ozone Park. What's up, Pat?
Sally, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. You're my favorite guy. You and Joe Beningo, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Listen, you got to get that seat next to Evan. I keep hearing announcements of other guys. I want you to have it.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. That seat, there's too much popcorn underneath that seat anyway, so I kind of like the seat.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I really love you, and I always agree with your takes, and you are very entertaining. My real name's Pasquale, so I think we have a similar background, and I just understand
your language. So you only like me because I'm Italian, Pasquale.
Get out of here. Are you kidding me? Look, I love all the sports. Baseball's my first true love. Nobody talks about it like you do. Joe's a very funny guy, and so are you.
Oh, yeah, you know, you like Joe because he's Italian. Maybe, and then you're going to say, Sal, I love pizza as well.
I love this stuff. You guys speak my language. I don't know what to tell you. I understand you guys.
No, I get it. Look, that's why we do it. I mean, look, I made my first call to the radio station in 1995 to Joe Beningo. So, and I didn't, you know, I love Mike and the Dog and Summers and Sid Rosenberg and everybody. But, yeah, Beningo is one of my favorites. He's always spoke my language as far as sports go. Maybe a little too negative for my liking, but I've always loved Beningo.
Well, I'm older than you and I'm younger than him. I'm 54, 1969 baby, the summer of love. I love the Mets. They're my National League team, but I'm a Yankee guy. And I always love your takes. It's great to talk to you.
Now, what does that mean? What does that mean you love the Mets, but you're a Yankee guy? Clear that up.
Well, I root for all the original New York teams that I know of, you know, like in the modern era. I root for the Giants. I was a Dodger fan. I was raised in Brooklyn. They were gone 12 years already when I was born. But I was
Pasquale, how many teams you got here? I mean, how many teams you got here? You root for the Giants, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets. What do we got here?
Any one of those teams head-to-head with the Yankees, I'm going with the Yankees. But I love them all. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport.
Interesting. You seem to love everything. Is there anything you don't like, Pasquale?
No, not really. Love sports. You ever do a show with Joe Beningo? I wanted to ask you that.
You know, that is a great question. I have not done a show with Joe. Maybe like we've done something at SNY together. We might have been on Daily News Live together at some point. We have not done a radio show together.
I would have loved to hear that. It's excellent to talk to you. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time. Thanks.
Oh, what are you kidding me? I got 5 hours. Please talk longer. No, thank you for the call. I appreciate checking in, Pasquale. But I know your deal. You love Beningo. You love Licata. You like us because we're Italian. I don't care about that. You just like us for our sports talk. But I do appreciate the kind words. I would like to do something with Beningo. I know he's got that live podcast of his. Maybe one of these days he'll invite me on, and I can go hang out with him for a little bit. But no, I never did a show with him. As a matter of fact, I tried to get Summers on the last couple of weeks that I was doing when I was filling in for Keith on paternity leave, doing the evening show. You know, because I would have him on tonight, as a matter of fact. He could co-host with me if he wants, but you know, he's not going to want to do the overnight. So I asked Steve, but he just couldn't make it work schedule-wise, so that was unfortunate. But I would have liked to host at least a couple hours with him. It'd be a great idea to do a Beningo. And it's been great to hear Joe doing these the Saturday shows regularly. Alex is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well. Funny story, listening to the other guy. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, being born in the Bronx, and my dad was a Met fan, being born in Queens. So when we weren't talking about sports, you know, we were going back and forth with the rivalry.
Yeah, that's all right, Fleas. You get that one? Yeah, you. I know you didn't mean to curse, but that's something that we can't allow on the air. And I don't want to get in any kind of trouble, neither does Fleeg. So I had to hang up on you there and move on. But I could understand your dad giving you stuff about it. You know, if you're a Yankee fan, he's a Met fan. I get that. I never had that dynamic with my dad because he was not a sports fan, believe it or not. My grandfather was. Oddly enough, my grandfather grew up a Yankees fan, you know, born in, I want to say, 25 or something like that. I was actually just at the cemetery the other day visiting him and my father. Great Father's Day, visiting my grandfather and father at the cemetery. It was really wonderful. Anyway, so you grew up in, what, the 30s or 40s, whatever, watching the Yankees. And as he got older, he stopped rooting or watching the Yankees. I don't know if it was because they were bad in the 80s or what, more so though, or maybe the early 90s, but more so I think because you had to pay to get them on whatever it was, Sports Channel, or maybe it was MSG even at that time. So he then switched to watching the Braves because they were free on TBS and they were good. So in the early 90s, he gave up on the Yankees. And I was, like I said, I was sure it was a couple of different reasons. I was too young to really understand it. But he started watching the Braves, so I used to watch the Braves along with him. That's how I became a Falcons fan, because of Deion Sanders. Anyway, so I get the family stuff, how that works. Although I do think that it's odd to have a father-son combo differ on Mets-Yanks. Don't you think so, Fleeks? I know you and your father are both Met fans. Don't you think that that's an oddity? Wait, I mean, you really have to have some kind of, like, I guess, will to be on your own to go against whatever your father's baseball team was. In this town, that's a big deal. Jets, Giants, maybe a little different. I feel like Yankees, Mets, if your father is one or the other, you would follow that, no?
I was, like, much older when I met the first person in my life who, like, rooted for a different team than their father. Like, that, I was floored. I might have already been, you know, close to a teenager or a teenager when I met somebody who was like, wait, you, like, your dad's a Mets fan and you're a Yankees fan? Like, that that thought never even crossed my mind of not, I mean, my dad is who got me into sports. How would I ever, like, root for another team? Like, that, I didn't even know that was possible until, again, like, I was at least, like, 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing for me not having that. You know, come to think of it, I don't even know how I became such a diehard sports fan. Like, how does that even happen if my father has, when I tell you zero interest, like just zero interest, cars.
That happens, though. Like, people have different interests. This is having the same interest and then almost like a lot of people go against it just to not root for what their dad was rooting for. But to me, like,
right.
Most of my positive sports memories in life are things that I share with my dad. I talked about this, you know, doing the show on Sunday on Father's Day. Like, that is the root of all of my great sports memories, or pretty much all of them. I still go to games with him. He has season right. tickets. We go to the games all the time. Like, that's how we bond and get to spend time together, even though now I'm an adult living out of the house. Like, again, the thought, like, now I know that it happens, it's still, like, I have a problem, like, trouble processing
why
somebody would do that.
Yeah, think about it logically. Generally, like, I start to think now, and I know, you know, I have a daughter, and I never really thought this through, and I guess always thinking, like, oh, if I had a son, you would do that, but I could do the same thing with my daughter, and I'm now getting excited, because you she'll watch and go, oh, baseball, and we're trying to teach her Let's Go Mets. Like, naturally, I'm going to take her, I've already taken her to some Mets games, but once she gets older and can understand a little better, I'm going to take her to Mets games. So why wouldn't she? Unless she hates my guts because, you know, I yell to him or whatever, like, am I too strict or something like that? Like, why would she go against what she knows? The same thing for whoever, your father or somebody else's father bringing in the Yankee Stadium. You would think the tradition, like my uncle, all my uncles are Yankee fans, they're kids. I believe the majority of them, at least, are Yankee fans. The ones who care about it follow along that path. I you're right. It just doesn't make sense.
How would you react? Because I've always said, listen, you know, if I have a kid who doesn't like sports, that's fine. Again, people have different interests. Right. They're more into arts or the sciences, whatever. If I have a kid that tries to root for another team, especially another New York team, that it's going to get ugly. I know maybe some people are better equipped to handle that. I'm not. Like that, if I have a kid that is walking around saying, let's go Yankees, I'm not paying for that kid's any food, clothes, schooling one day. Forget it. You want to see, you want to root for another team? You can go pay your own way through college.
Certain things that are non-negotiable. And at least from my standpoint, now I don't care. My daughter could root for whoever she wants, except for the Yankees. It would be, not that I hate the Yankees, and I don't at this point, but it's just there's too much of a divide there.
If she's a Braves fan and chanting at you, the NL East is over, and doing that nonstop, well, you're going to be okay with it?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Well, I mean, how would she possibly become a Braves fan? Although, I guess she could see some of my jerseys here. I did love Fred McGriff, and our dog's name is Maddox, so that could be a little bit of an issue.
Plus, the people in Atlanta still don't shut up about you, so
yeah, well, those
she
people,
might
no,
pick
those
up on that.
Love me. Those people still love me. I've been giving them content for a year and a half, the people in Atlanta. I'm doing double duty here. New York, I provide entertainment, and the people of Atlanta. They should be thanking me, because I guarantee you this, I'm more entertaining than anything they've got down there. I've heard it. Some of the shows are okay. The one that I go on with, not Chuck and Chernoff. That one I didn't like. Dukes and Bell. That's the one I just went on recently. They're not bad. But anyway, outside of them, come on now.
What if she became a Brooklyn Nets fan, or if she likes hockey and says, you know what, I'm going to root for the Devils, forget the Rangers?
You see, I have a problem with this. I want to say, like, oh, she could root for whoever she wants to, and I don't really care. There's a fundamental problem. If she's, like, I've already had her wear a Rangers jersey. I've already had her in a Ewing jersey. I've already had her in a Ray Ordonez jersey. Like, that's it. There is no dividing from what daddy wants you to root for. You can go do, you want to do something, and now I probably should gear her towards something. Like, what's something on the weekend that's going to take up the least amount of time? Like, cheerleading is out already. I've already ruled that out because I don't want to sit there through all these cheerleading meets and all that stuff. Like, can you do soccer maybe? What is that, like an hour a game? Or t-ball or softball? I don't know. So, but anyway, realistically, forget about me. It's about her. She could choose whatever she wants. But the sports rooting? Well, wouldn't you want to have a common bond with your father? Come on.
Again, that is the reason I love sports the way I do, is because still sharing it with my dad, getting on the phone with him a couple times a week, talking about our teams. I can't even, like, it wouldn't mean the same thing to me if I didn't root for the same teams he did.
Steve is calling from Howell, New Jersey. Steve, you have a thought on this?
Hey, Sal. My son, back when he was in high school, turned around, and he was born and raised a Mets fan, as I was. And he comes walking in the house one day with a Yankee hat on.
Oh.
So I gave him a double look, and I said, excuse me, what's that? And he's, like, playing dumb, and I said, the thing on your head. He goes, it's a Yankee hat, Dad. And I said, there's no Yankee hats in my house. And I said, why would you dare wear a Yankee hat in my house? And he answered back, because the chicks dig the Yankees, Dad. What am I going to do?
Oh, I thought it was a pretty good answer.
And what'd you say? I thought it was a pretty good answer. And eventually he realized he was on the dark side, and he's come back around. So,
all right, there you go. At least you've righted the ship there, Steve. That is a pretty damn thank you for the call. That's a tough one. I remember Bob Huesler was the most strict of any of this. And, you know, like, Bob didn't even want to talk to me if I weren't going to be a Met fan.
I recently told Bob that somebody, I won't name the name, but somebody that he knew of was not a Mets fan, but a Yankees fan. And Bob texted me and Harris back immediately, I hate him.
Bob, a quick story before we break, and then we'll get back to your calls at 877-337-6666. I might have told this one before, but I'll tell it again. Bob, one time, so he knew I was a Met fan, diehard Met fan, obviously hates the Yankees. I was dating this girl, and we had broken up years before, and there was, you know, whatever, there were many issues there, but one of the issues was, you know, I was trying to get her to be into the Mets, and she was a Yankee fan, and just she would not have it. Not that it was a big deal, but it was a little bit of a problem. So the next go-round, I was just showing her that I was open to, you know, whatever she wanted to root for, and it's not that serious, not a big deal. So for a Halloween party that we went to together, I dressed up as a Yankee player. I had a Yankee uniform. It was from, like, a baseball league that I was playing in that I was on the Yankees, so I happened to have it. And Bob, and whatever, the girl liked it. It was fine. We ended up dating for a little while, and then we broke up again. Bob saw a picture of it and basically disowned me as one of his disciples at the fan, at least for the moment. And I disappointed them greatly by dressing up for Halloween in the Yankee uniform. But I get it.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call, going to 5 a.m. So we get all night together, all morning together, I should say, talking some Mets, talking some Yanks, and really whatever's on your mind. Seth is calling from Teaneck. What's up, Seth?
How are you, my friend? Long time, first time.
Oh, nice to have you aboard, Seth. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was originally going to talk about the Mets and why I think they actually have a better chance of making a run than the Yankees, just because I feel their hitting is much more consistent. The bats are better than the Yankees. Most of the Yankees' batters just look so overwhelmed. Like, you don't even expect them to get hits anymore. But I wanted to switch when you started talking about your dad. And my dad was a Yankee fan. But I think it's part of the draw of being a fan of not the same team as your dad, just like your best buddy. It's more fun when you go to a game with someone you have like a rooting interest against, you know, the opposite team of the team that your friends root for, your dad. Like it's I think it's a different aspect. Like, you know, it's sort of like a competitive nature. Like you have your team, he has his team, and it almost makes games more fun. Like I just dropped off my best friend of 35 years. He doesn't even follow sports anymore. But if I bring up the Giants, he'll still talk about how he likes the Cowboys. Even though the last quarterback he remembers is probably Troy Aikman. You know, like. Those things when you have that.
I can understand that. I can understand that. You bring up a good point. The competition in it, where you want to be different, you want to be one up on somebody. But against your own father, especially if you grew up, because I'm assuming, you know, sports fandom. Well, not I'm assuming. I know sports fandom gets molded or developed at a very young age. So if your father is taking, that's how I became a Mets fan. I was going to Mets games in the 80s. My aunt used to get tickets from her job, and we used to go, and they were good in the 80s. So that's how I became a Mets fan. Had I been taken to Yankee Stadium, it maybe be a different story. So I mean, I would think that if your father or mother or whatever grew up taking you to a team's games, you're not thinking about competition at that point as a young kid. You're thinking about, okay, this is fun. I like this team. You get a little merch or whatever, and then you follow that team.
Could be. My dad grew up around the corner from Ebbets Field, and yet he was a Yankee fan even back then. So who knows? You know, everyone, I guess, it was a little bit different, but I don't think you're rooting against your dad. It's fun to go to a game when you have opposite rooting interest. You're not rooting against the person. You just, you know, you get excited when this team scores. He gets excited when that guy strikes out. It just makes it almost like it almost gives you the same thrill that betting does. If you just have a buddy or a family member that's rooting for the opposite team, you get that rush on a game. I think that's sometimes a draw to have a different rooting interest than your dad or your brother or even against the team that you grew up watching.
I can understand. Thank you for the call, Seth. I feel like, and look, maybe there's some sentiment that is true. I'm sure that is true in certain areas. But I like the bonding of it. Even if I'm having friends over, football Sunday, have some friends over, I want common ground. And I know that everybody is not going to be rooting for the same team, you know, as far as being whatever fan they are, Jets, Giants, something else. However, if we're going to place a wager, I want to do it family style. You want everybody on the same page so you're not rooting against each other. I don't want that divide or hostility. I want everybody to enjoy the success of a winning bet. But that's just me. I mean, maybe, you know, to each their own. If friends are coming over, let's say we go out for whatever, you're out for March Madness, don't you want to be on the same side? Or do you want, you know, you want to bet against your buddy? I don't know. I personally have always been a same side guy. But maybe it's just because I'm so nice. Charlie is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Nice to have you back on the overnight.
Thank you, Charlie. How are you?
Yeah, okay. No, I just wanted to, you know, chime in on this. I just had a scenario. Let's say you have a case where, you know, obviously not now, but I'm just bringing a realistic case where, let's say the Mets sucked for 10 years and the Yankees in that process won 5 championships. Would you want your kid to go through that pain?
It's a great question. It's a great question. And let me tell you truthfully, Charlie, prior to Steve Cohen taking over, I was uncertain. But once it just coincided with the birth of my daughter that Steve Cohen took over, and I was like, well, this is going to be great because she's going to just be born into not knowing any different than King Cohen running things with the Mets. But I get what you're saying. If you know better, yeah, I would steer clear. Like, I'll tell you this. I do not want either my niece or nephew or my daughter to follow my Falcons fandom. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to be a Falcons fan anymore. Like, I'm over it. Yeah. I loved it. I was it. But so yes, there are certain things that you're right. I could understand that. However, I feel a common bond is more important than her enjoying a team winning that I do not root for or didn't grow up rooting for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, I was just wondering because, like, for me, if I would have a kid, I wouldn't want my kid to go through that pain, and I would be able to accept it more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense, Charlie. And thank you for the call. I get it. Fleegs, what do you think of that philosophy? Not wanting your child to go through the same pain that we have endured.
I get it, but that's also, you know, trying to predict that could go haywire. That could really backfire on you.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
At that point, I mean, honestly, at that point, you tell them, don't be a sports fan. What we put ourselves through daily is absolutely insane.
I almost had that happen with my nephew because the first year he got into hockey, you know, we live on Long Island. The Rangers were out of it, and the Islanders were in the Eastern Conference Finals again against the Lightning. And that was his first hockey game. So it was his first year in hockey, and his first hockey game was an Islander game. And you got him the Barzell jersey, whatever. We go to the game, had a great time. It was the Pollock play in front of the net. I forget which game, maybe game 4 or whatever it was. And he was going nuts. We had fun. I'm like, uh-oh, I may have just made him an Islander fan. Luckily, it changed course where, you know, we went next year to Rangers opening night, and that was it. He's been hooked on the Rangers ever since. Now, I root for both. And we certainly go to Islander games or whatever. He'll root for both, but he's a Rangers fan, and he makes it more known than I am or that I do. He's like, no, Uncle Sal, I'm a Rangers fan. Like, I'll wear the Islanders jersey if you want, if we're going to go in the owner's suite or hang out and root for the Islanders, I have no problem, but I'm a Rangers fan. So much so, we go to a random Islanders game. He's sneaking a Panarin t-shirt under his Islanders jersey. And he's afraid to show me or show off. He doesn't want to show the people there because he doesn't want to get booed or anything. So you're right. That could go haywire. All of a sudden, you're thinking, oh, the Islanders are going to be the premier team, and then, boom, the Rangers go on a run. 877, you got to be careful there.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.